Rami Nashashibi is a 29-year-old Palestinian-American. His parents were, as he describes it, secular Muslim, and so was he until his college years. He discovered in Islam a home for his intellect and his passion for social justice. In 1995, he founded the Inner City Muslim Action Network. As he completes doctoral work in sociology, he also spends his days with young people who are struggling with poverty, drug abuse, gangs, and domestic violence in the ghettos of Chicago's South Side. He visits teenagers who've gone to prison, as well as the victims of crime. So when Rami Nashashibi reflects on evil, he does so in a troubled American context. But his definition of the word is nuanced by his Islamic worldview. When he thinks about the nature of evil, he believes he must look first inside himself.
Translation is a very big problem here, at least in Islamic cosmology, because the word evil in English, I think, connotes a lot of things that the word in Arabic may not connote.
Tell me a little bit about that. I mean, what is the word in Arabic and what are the differences?
One of the words used is shar, and Muslims often recite this word, for example, when they seek refuge. We have a verse, we have an invocation that says, "A'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina," which means, I seek refuge in Allah, and if we were to use the translation, evil is from the evil of our own selves. In my mind, in terms of how we work with other human beings, it's supposed to be an element that puts us in check, that somehow suppresses a tendency for sometimes religious arrogance among various faith traditions, whether it be Muslims, Christians, Jews, or anyone, the whole holier-than-thou syndrome, which can only be perpetuated if one really begins to think that they are in somehow obtained a level of goodness and that someone else is categorically evil. And that type of dichotomy, absolute dichotomy, really cannot exist in Islam between human beings. But we really don't feel like that, and it's in the realm of human capability to determine. And if it is at all to do, be determined, that would be by a much higher order, a divine order, by Allah, you know, God.
It does seem that when we talk about evil, especially in our public dialogue, we tend to be talking about someone else or something external.
Definitely. I mean, and I think actually the axiom is to be a million times harder on oneself than you are on others. And if one were to really be true to that principle, then it would be really hard not to find evil, the quote-unquote evil that we're so sometimes eager and willing to superimpose on others in society, in ourselves, particularly when we don't consider the circumstances are environmental factors that those so-called evils emerge out of, such as the inner city ghetto or something along those lines.
But the hard question that arises is, does that let people off the hook? Does that allow this kind of modern phenomenon of everyone's a victim so you can't hold them accountable?
There has to be accountability. You know, the foundation of justice in many senses, I think, is accountability. But we have to really be very principled and sincere about accountability in all its forms. We need to begin to expand our definition of accountability. When I drive down Lakeshore Drive and I see the Gold Coast and I go shop at Treasure Island and I see Cabrini Green, or what's left of it, which is one of the housing projects here in Chicago, within a mile of that plush oasis, and I realize that there's this serious disparity within my society that I live in and I benefit from, I have to begin to hold myself accountable. And ultimately, that accountability should drive me to seek a fairer ends.
And, you know, there is this term, this theological and sociological term of systemic evil, such as racism or poverty.
Correct, yeah. And I think that needs to be dealt with. I cannot, whether it be as a Muslim or another active participant in the society, cannot help but feel that we cannot look at those things in a vacuum. That is simply not going to get to the bottom of why sometimes this violence and this hatred exists in the world. And if that's our concern, you know, and I think we really need to be clear about what our point of departure is. And there should be a question, a spiritual, a humane question that resonates in each and every one of us. I made a point to pick up the New York Times every day since September 11th and read the names of every one of the victims. And I kept thinking in my mind, what would that be like if I were to be able to do that for every victim of this type of violence throughout the world? To be able to try to picture these people. And how would we be able to respond? How would we feel accountable for our actions?
For you as a Muslim with an understanding of Allah as merciful and compassionate and absolutely sovereign, where is God in the midst of these problems, these systemic evils, if you will? Do you ask yourself that question? And if you do, how do you answer it?
Well, we have one brother that we work with has a kind of way of making the expression that, you know, that Allah is the supreme shot caller of the universe and has always been in charge and always will be in charge. And, you know, as Muslims, we do believe that and always will believe that, and don't believe that for any minute somehow his dominion has subsided in any way or form. But the evil that we see around us are the consequences, whether they be systemic or they be from our own selves, at the end of the day are consequences of human actions, human systems that may be imperfect as we are imperfect. So the merciful God and his mercy is still here. It allows us to get up in the morning, and I believe it allows us to breathe. It allows me to walk. It allows me to think. It allows untold acts of kindness throughout the world to occur. And all those emanate from an supreme metaphysical source of goodness, which is, in the Muslim worldview, Allah. And that has not subsided in any way. And I think September 11th, in many ways, reaffirmed that.
One last thing. You said sure. Earlier that it's sometimes hard to translate. And I believe that's true of sacred language in general, but very especially true of the Quran and Quranic Arabic. And I'm wondering if, as you confront good and evil every day in Chicago and in your thinking about the wider world, is there a passage from the Quran or a prayer or a blessing that you might just say for me now and tell me, you know, what it means and why it's important to you in this context?
Irham man fil ard, yirhamaka man fil sama, which is have mercy on that which is on earth, so that which is in heavens could have mercy on you. And I try to recollect and think about that aspect of the message of Islam, because it's firmly grounded in one of the supreme characteristics of Allah in the Islamic cosmological worldview, which is Ar-Rahman, the most merciful. And definitely in a time like the one we're living, I think we as human beings need to constantly remind ourselves of this. As I work in the inner city and as I interact with people, I think sometimes the fact that message has been unfortunately somewhat either minimized or cynically dismissed becomes very apparent in the harsh realities of our lives. Whether they be in the inner cities, in the ghettos of Chicago, or whether they be in the ghettos of Ramallah, whether they be in the refugee camps of Muslims throughout the world, this aspect of our faith traditions, as a Muslim, I try to fall back on.
Rami Nashashibi is founder and director of the Inner City Muslim Action Network.